Good morning, good morning. It is 10:10 on this Monday morning, June the 5th. Welcome to episode 13 of Coffee with the Coder. I have my coffee in my official Coffee with the Coder cup, which you can find on Facebook and on LinkedIn. Thank you for joining us today. We've got some questions to share with you and some answers to share with you, and we also invite you to hop over to aq-iq.com and put your own question in there for us to potentially address on another session. Each one that is answered today, the person who has asked the questions will go in our drawing. I'll be writing their name down on a slip of paper and putting them in my hat while we're talking. And then one of those lucky people will get an official Coffee with the Coder mug. We call that mugging. And it's the most fun mugging you'll ever participate in. So you're going to get this wonderful cup. We invite you also, those of you who have received one, to mug it up and send us a selfie on Facebook or just an email so that we can share the joy of having this wonderful cup to have our coffee in. So good morning, good morning. Today's guest expert is Richa. Good morning, Richa.
Hi, everyone.
And you're a little bit new, but we've seen your lovely face on Facebook. I know you've been working with Paula our bit, and we're so happy to have you standing in today and giving us all the answers.
Yes.
Well, let's jump right in and see how far we get for today. Our first question comes from Suzanne, and she is in the IRF setting. That's inpatient rehab for those of you who are not in that setting. She's talking about a patient who had a hip fracture outside of the hospital. They came to the hospital and had surgery and then to rehab. So on the IRF pie, she entered the etiologic diagnosis as S72.034A. The coder used S72.034D as the primary diagnosis on the UB04 claim form. So is this right? There's sometimes confusion about whether those two documents need to match.
So actually on the I form, you're going to use the initial encounter ending, which would be the S72.034A. And then on the UB04, you're going to designate the subsequent encounter ending, which would be S72.034D, because it's a subsequent encounter in the rehab setting.
And that's one of those is for payment, and one of those is for a different purpose, yes?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we have another question from an IRF, and then we're going to move to a hospital setting. So this is also an A versus B, and it's worded differently. So I know there's sometimes some nuances to these. This question comes from Deborah in Texas, and she works as a rehab coder. She's heard there's a lot of variations on how to code fractures in the rehab. So, for example, this patient has multiple fractures, and she'll use A initial for the etiology, and then D subsequent if it's a comorbid fracture code. So if they're doing an actual treatment, for example, surgery, I would use A as it's being actively treated. I'm told I should use A for all the codes during the rehab. At the time of the discharge, I change etiology code to B. I'd appreciate you addressing this, as some rehab coders are using A for the etiology and the comorbid during the rehab stay. So we just don't want to get rid of the confusion there.
Okay. So for the IRF pie, when a patient is admitted to rehab following an acute injury, the etiologic diagnosis or diagnoses are reported with the seventh character A as stated by CMS in the attached document. Comorbid conditions, even if there are injuries or fractures that happened before the admission, are reported with a D. If the injury happened while the patient was in rehab, then they would still be reported with an A. And for the
I was just going to mention that document that you said, it will be posted on the website with today's replay.
Oh, right. I can't see the screen.
I just wanted to make sure if you had finished answering the question, I didn't want to cut you off.
Okay, just this last part. For the claim form, all the codes are reported with a D on the claim form unless it happened while the patient was in rehab.
Okay, so the D subsequent is pretty much for the claim form unless this actually happened during the rehab stay.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We're spinning through, so let's go on to another one. This one comes from the hospital setting. Ida in Georgia has been talking about the push enteroscopy. And so she has a bit of confusion. She says, from what I understand, this is a scope that goes past the second portion of the duodenum. Duodenum is the first portion of the small intestine, which would be the lower gastro tract, right? The doctor did an FLC during the session. No biopsy was done on either procedure. So I'm kind of wondering about the ICD-10 code since this was done in an in-house setting. I believe there should be two procedure codes, but not the same code. So I'd really appreciate what you think. Now, she's also sent the op note. Okay, so there is a little bit right here under the details of the procedure that I think might be helpful for the audience to know before you address it. So she's talking about a physical exam was performed, the major risks and benefits associated with the procedure were discussed with the patient in detail, and then we'll move on to what was actually done after the general anesthesia with endotracheal intubation supplied by anesthesia service. Okay, so they used a well-lubricated Olympus pediatric colonoscope inserted through the mouth, advanced likely to the fourth part of the duodenum. Retroflexion was performed in the stomach. The scope was completely retrieved, air suctioned. No bleeding was encountered. Decision was made to proceed with an unprepared colonoscopy. So an adult colonoscope was inserted through the rectum, advanced as far as possible. Due to the presence of a large amount of dark blood, clots, and stool, the landmarks could not be identified. Air was suctioned. Scope was withdrawn. Procedure was terminated. The patient was transferred to the recovery room in stable condition. And then they put their findings. So is this two codes?
Yes, so there was two codes. We're going to code one for the endoscopy beyond the second section of the duodenum. So it would be 0DJ08ZZ, and that is for the inspection of the upper intestinal tract via natural or artificial opening endoscopic. And then for the – you want to code separately for the the colonoscopy procedure, so then that would be the 0DJ8ZZ, and that's the inspection of the lower intestinal tract via natural or artificial opening endoscopic procedure.
Okay, thank you. So now I just want to make sure that we're understanding correctly. She says those are the codes that she used, because we did have some back and forth here. If the push endoscopy was done, if only the push endoscopy was done, would it still be considered upper GI tract since it does go beyond the second portion of duodenum?
Yes. The definition of the upper GI tract from the National Institute of Health says the upper GI tract is the first part of the GI tract, which includes a series of hollow organs joined in a long twisting tube from the mouth to the anus, a 1-inch long opening through which stool leaves the body. The upper GI tract includes the mouth, esophagus, stomach, duodenum, and small intestine.
Okay, good. So she was right with her anatomy, and that's wonderful. I also have started posting on aq-iq.com in case you want to hop over there and look under the courses. There are some anatomy lessons. So if you're already a subscriber, you have access all to them, and if you're not, of course, you can buy them one-on-one or just get the whole thing because there are more to come in that series. There hasn't been a rollout yet, so this is notifying you preliminarily. Thank you, Richard. We very, very much appreciate hearing from you today and getting all these questions answered. I don't think there's time enough for another one because we only have 1 minute left. So let me stir up these names, and I'll let you know who's going to get the cup for today. I'll draw them out of the hat. Here we go. Our winner for today is Ida from Georgia. So thank you, Ida. We'll be contacting you to get your address so that we can send you this mug. We're going to mug you, and we'd like to have your mug shot if you would share that with us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for today. Our next episode will be Monday, June 19th, episode 14, and send us those questions.